Alrighty, so a little bit more on gentle parenting, which I find quite a fascinating adjunct to peaceful parenting. So gentle parenting is no way to bring up children, and I should know. The mild-mannered parenting style, popularized by millennials, which means never saying no or raising your voice, is facing a backlash from exhausted and confused mothers, worried they're producing a generation of indulgent and self-obsessed brats. Polly Dunbar, who tried it on her own son, understands why. This is from December 2023. So I can pinpoint, she says, the exact moment I was done with gentle parenting. Sorry, let me just make sure that this is by Polly Dunbar. So she says, I can pinpoint the exact moment I was done with gentle parenting. The soft play session had ended, but my 3-year-old son didn't want to leave. And he'd had 3 more minutes at least 4 times. He was hot, hungry, and tired, and I could see exactly where things were heading. We'd been there before, and neither of us liked it. Now, again, I understand I have a daughter, but I have a very fierce and strong-willed daughter. So I'm not going to say that she's any kind of putty or pliable or anything like that. Very, very strong-willed. But if your children, and I'm just going from the outside here, I don't know what her relationship is like with her son, but if your children really, really, really enjoy your company, then they'll go wherever you go, and they'll be usually happy to go. If you say, we have to go, then they know that they're going to have fun in the car. The problem is, if your children don't particularly enjoy your company or don't look forward to it massively or love spending time with you, then you're going to have a problem in that your children find things more enjoyable than spending time with you, and therefore they will want to stay where things are more fun. And I mean, my daughter, we had a lot of fun in the car. We would role play in the car. Also, we used to do this game where we would pretend to be shooting aliens coming from the moon. We had a game where she had to take a bad guy and turn him into a good guy, kind of my life mission. And we would play word games about that. So we just had a blast in the car. And so it wasn't like leaving was terrible. Right? It wasn't like if we go somewhere and it's fun and then I have to go for some reason, it's not terrible. And, you know, just why do you have to go? Right? The soft play session had ended, but it didn't want to leave. So why do you have to go? But it's always the big question. Why do you have to go? So anyway, so if you don't have to go, just stay, right? Like last night, I wanted to go to bed, and my daughter was showing me various things that she'd saved on her phone, and they were very, very, very funny. And we saw some video about. No, I showed her something, and then she showed me stuff. I showed her a video about some cosplayers and how many hours they'd put on video games, and there was a Baldur's Gate 3. Person, and she says 250, and the guy said 250, and she like jumped up and down with joy that she got it right. And it was just really like, I was tired, I wanted to go to bed, but it was just a blast staying up and chatting about these things. So I'll be mellow when I'm dead, right? I'll sleep when I'm dead. So anyway, she says, I tried the script, the one that the Instagram parenting gurus swear by. First you validate their feelings. You don't want to leave, it's so tough, you're feeling cross. Then you hold the boundary. It's time to go. Then you sprinkle on a little sweetener. You can choose which program you want to watch when we get home. So don't do a script, man. Do not do a script. A script is, you know, so fundamentally inauthentic that the kid just knows they're being played. The kid just knows when they're being, you know, manipulated. You know, I'm asking nicely. I've tried asking nicely. And it's like there's a threat sort of in behind that. So a script, validating their feelings. What's the point of validating your feelings if the kid knows you're just saying that to get him to do what you want, right? That's not an honest, genuine interaction. So it's time to go. How do you hold the boundary? And then you bribe, right? So I don't know, validating their feelings, that's a girl thing. That's a girl thing. men or boys, I suppose, having the validated feelings, if you understand the feelings, you don't want to leave, then stay, right? Then stay. And of course, have you obtained an agreement on how long you'll stay before you go, right? So if I had some place I had to be, and my daughter wanted to go, say, to a play center when she was little, I would say, I'd love to take you to a play center. The deal is, we can stay there for like an hour and a half. And then, like, I have to go. Now, we can go another time when we could stay longer, but we have to stay for an hour and a half. Is that okay? Like, because otherwise we just can't go, right? I mean, if you want to stay for 2 hours, I'm going to miss, you know, if I had to go to the dentist or something like that, right? Then I would say, well, you know, there's a play center near the dentist. We can go there, but I have a call and then we have to drive there. So we can stay there for an hour and a half, which I'd love to do. But it is, so do you have this agreed to ahead of time? And if you haven't got an agreement ahead of time, it's kind of tough to impose one later. And so, and three-year-olds can handle that. Will they know exactly what an hour and a half is? No, but you sort of tell them and so on, right? And then if they want to stay longer, then you can say, well, if, you know, we did have a deal, right? We had a deal. If you're not going to keep your deal, I mean, you could do that. I mean, I'm not going to pick you up and drag you out, obviously, right? But if you're not going to keep your deal, we can't make deals, right? Like you got to come here because you had agreed to leave after an hour and a half. It is an hour and a half now. I do have to get to the dentist because if I don't go to the dentist, I have to pay for a missed appointment. We have to come back and I can't do deals with you for at least a while, right? Like, and I would say, like, maybe you're too young to make the deals, or, and I, you know, I wasn't mad at her, like, but it, you can have, so what'll happen is you'll have another 10 or 15 or 20 minutes here or whatever. I won't be enjoying it, and I would just stop playing with her because I want to go. And so you can have another little bit of time here to play on your own, but that just means we can't make deals for, you know, for at least another month or two or three. So, you know, trust me, you're going to lose out on a lot more play centers than you're going to get just now. So, I mean, these are all facts, right? These are all just facts. And so I don't know this validating the feelings, it's time to go, and so on, right? And the bribery, I don't think, right? Anyway, she says, did it diffuse the situation? If anything, it inflamed it. In that moment, it was very clear to me, she says, that I could have the diplomacy skills of Kofi Annan paired with the relentless cheeriness of a CBeebies presenter. I don't know what that is. But they would be useless here. Sometimes if you want a preschooler to go somewhere they don't want to go, what you really need to do is stop talking, pick them up, and carry them out. Right. The big question is, why won't the child reason with you? And this, blowing through this question of why the child won't reason with you, is really, really interesting. It's a fascinating question. I would very rarely have anything like this with my daughter. In fact, I can't think of a time where the speech I mentioned before about if you want to stay at the play center, we can stay, but I'm not going to play, like, I'm not going to pick you up and drag you out, but I'm not going to play with you, and we can't make deals for the first, like, for a while. We can't make deals for a while. And maybe you're too young and so on. And I would say this, like, well, maybe you're just too young to make a deal. You know, snarky is just like, well, you know, maybe, and then it's my fault, right? It's my fault. But because I kept my deals whenever humanly possible, I remember going to, what was it, the White Mountains or something, going to, oh gosh, Pork Fest. Like, when my daughter was very, very little, she said that we stopped at a motel shortly before we got there, and there was a pool. My daughter, of course, as a little kid, loved pools, still does. And she said, can we do the pool? And I was really tired, been a long drive. And I said, I promise you we'll do it in the morning. We'll do it in the morning. And then we had to go in the morning, but I got up an hour early, hour and a half, I think it was, which I really didn't want to do. And we went to the pool and we had fun at the pool. But so she knows I will move heaven and earth to keep my deals. And if I move heaven and earth to keep my deals, then asking her to keep her deals is kind of reasonable and so on, right? So I don't honestly think we had any particular problem that way. So, all right. Among millennials, she says, gentle parenting is ubiquitous, an approach intended to be more respectful and empathetic than the authoritarian rigid style common in previous generations. Offering choices rather than making demands, avoiding shouting and using negative words such as Don't, no, can't, and bad? Gentle parents don't resort to punishments such as super nanny's favour at the naughty step, instead delving into the feelings, causing unwanted behaviour so children feel understood, which in turn theoretically makes them better able to regulate their emotions. Delve into the feelings, but not with the goal of getting them to change their behaviour. So if you say to your kid, basically, well, I validated your feelings, now you have to do what I want you to do. I validated your feelings, now you have to do what I want you to do. Then you're not really curious about the child's feelings. You're just trying to find levers or say words that cast like a control spell over their emotional apparatus, right? It's sort of like you ask a girl out and the girl doesn't want to go out with you and you say, well, why not? It's not because you're genuinely curious. You're just asking why she doesn't want to go out with you in order to overcome her objections and have her go out with you, right? If you are you're trying to sell a car to someone, you're a car dealer, right? You're trying to sell a car to someone and they say, I don't want to buy this car. You'd say, oh, why not, right? Or they walk into the dealerships and you say, are you interested in a car? And they say, well, yes. And then you say, what kind of car are you looking for? It's not because you're curious about their feelings, like you just want them to buy the car, so you want to steer them to the right car. And there's nothing wrong with it, right? But it's not genuine emotional curiosity. You're just asking people what they like or want so that you can guide them to better buy from you, right? So that's kind of important, right? Is it genuine emotional curiosity, right? Like, well, why don't you want to go? Well, and the reason you avoid this kind of stuff, right? It's like, well, you say, well, why do you want to stay, right? Whatever it was, the soft play session, I don't even know what that means, didn't want to leave. Okay, so the question is, why doesn't your child want to leave? Well, because they're having so much fun there, and they're not going to have as much fun with you. They're not going to have as much fun with you. So that hurts, right? Because then you need to up your game in terms of the child enjoying your company, right? I mean, let's say you're married, right? And you, it's kind of like the marriage has become kind of routine and boring and you don't really talk about that much and you just kind of go through the motions and do your chores and stuff. And then you go to some dinner party, right? I'm actually somewhat known for throwing some pretty legendary dinner parties over the years. And so you go to a dinner party and both you and your wife just kind of light up, right? You just kind of light up. It's like Diana Ross when they were doing We Are the World or whatever, like she just didn't want it to leave, though it was like 4 or 5 in the morning. So you and your wife go out and you're funny and your wife is charming and everybody's got great conversation and you don't want to leave. Why? Because then you get back in the car and you're just kind of staring at each other and you realize kind of everything that's been missing and you know, you just feel a little bit depressed about being back in the car and going home with your wife because you were so much more lit up and having fun at the dinner party. So that's tough, right? That's tough. So why is it that your kid doesn't want to go? Because they're so much enjoying spending time not with you. And that's really, really tough. That's really, really tough. And so that's tough emotionally, right? So that curiosity, why does your kid not want to go with you? Because they're having so much more fun here. Ooh, that's tough, man. And then you have to figure out how you can be more creative and fun and imaginative when you're playing with your kid or you're chatting with your kid and all of that, right? That's tough. That's tough. All right. I don't know, saying don't, no, can't, and bad, I don't know about bad. Bad is not particularly helpful. But the idea that you should not say no to your children, I find a little bit confusing because it's just inauthentic. And kids, I tell you, man, it's wild. Kids are just like X-ray machines of authenticity. They just know when you're faking it. They just know when you're faking it. So if you're like, you're so self-restrained, right? Well, you're upset with your kid, right? And you know, if I was upset with my daughter, which would happen very rarely, but it would happen, I would be I would be annoyed. I'd say, I'm annoyed, right? I find this annoying, right? I'm not saying you're bad or anything. I'm just saying I'm annoyed, right? And that's fine. That's fine. And then she can say she's annoyed with me, right? That's just honest, right? And it's been usually very, very productive and healthy and helpful, right? So, some years ago, my daughter, when I was having a conversation with her, and I think this is a time when the show was on a real roller coaster, and she said, you know, sometimes you can be a bit grouchy, and I sort of thought about it, and we talked about it, and I was like, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And letting too much of the world chaos seep into the family abode. She was absolutely right about that. And we actually just talked about this the other day, although, of course, I checked in with her quite a bit to just let go of some of the grouchiness that would happen from time to time. I'm not a particularly grouchy guy, but it would certainly happen from time to time. And she was right. So this, you know, well, I have to do this three-step, right? Three-step, the script, right? Well, you don't want to leave. It's so tough. You're feeling cross. And the kid's like, well, so now that you understand that, I should be able to stay, as opposed to, if I wanted the date to go longer, but the girl wanted to leave, the woman wanted to leave, and I'd say, well, you want to leave, that's tough, you're feeling bored, or you're not connecting, and then say, well, then the date has to continue, that would be like, well, what's the point of understanding my feelings if you're just going to do the opposite, right? Right, I ask a girl out and she says no, and I'm like, okay, you don't want to go out with me. That's tough. You're feeling not positive towards me, and then just say, so when do we meet? Like, let's go out Friday. She'd say, well, no, I mean, you correctly identified my feelings that I don't want to go out with you, so then why are we doing the opposite? That would be weird, right? Right? I mean, if I was in a job interview and they said, we're not going to hire you, and I'm like, you don't want to hire me, that's tough. You're feeling like you don't want me to be your employee, so what time do I show up for work on Monday? That would be weird. So saying you don't want to leave is so tough, you're feeling cross, and then leaving is just weird. It's like, okay, well, if you understand my feelings, why can't we stay, right? So the script is a falsehood, and I can't say don't, no, can't, and bad. That's just self-censorship, and it's just inauthentic. You're just not genuinely connecting with your emotions and your child. Of course, I want more than anything to be kind and patient with my son, as my late adored mom was with me. What do you mean kind and patient? So that's just, again, it's inauthentic. Inauthentic. It's not kind and patient to be manipulative and to self-censor and to follow some sort of script, and you can't say this, and lack of genuine emotional connection and authenticity and spontaneity, blech. It's gross. It's an NPC script. Sometimes, though, she says, living with a three-nager, that's funny, can leave me feeling overwhelmed. Boy, that is like the ultimate, that is the ultimate female word of the 21st century. Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. I don't know what it means. I think it just means you've been fake for so long that you don't feel real anymore. So since his birth, I've discovered shortcomings I had no idea I had. So when I discovered gentle parenting exponents such as Big Little Feelings, Dr. Becky Kennedy and Janet Lansbury, a woman who embodies serenity on social media. I read everything they blah blah blah. Big Little Feelings. Ugh, it's gross. I really, really dislike that. All right. Much of what I've learned from those particular experts has been useful, particularly the emphasis on trying to calm yourself down first before intervening with your child to avoid adding fuel to their fire. So you don't think your kid can see your struggles? Kids read their parents like you read a book. Kids understand their parents like you understand that 2 and 2 make 4. So anyway, it's also no surprise to me in the U.S. for most of the backlash, blah, 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 starting from making us feel exhausted, confused, and ashamed. Is it entirely positive? For an approach designed to be non-authoritative, there are actually many rules to gentle parenting, most of them for the parents rather than the children. And failing to follow them correctly apparently means risking your child's future self-esteem and happiness, saying good boy, girl, is frowned on in case you make them dependent on external validation. Boy, talk about a lack of self-knowledge here, right? Right, so she's like, am I being good? Am I being good at gentle parenting? That's external validation, right? She's literally going to all of these people, this woman is the embodiment of serenity, the Janet Lansbury, and I want to be like her. I want to be like my mom. I want to be like these other people. And then it's like, well, you don't want to be dependent on external validation. It's like, oh my God. Ditto, you've made me really angry sad, which might trigger toxic codependency. You've made me really angry sad. This is, again, maybe 51-49. This a female thing. Man, this a female thing. Which is, something external happens, and that makes them angry or sad. You know, like if somebody wires you up to electricity and runs 40,000 volts through your thigh muscle, then they are making you jerk back and they're making you angry, making you hurt, right? But you've made me really angry, sad. That's not helpful. I am angry and sad. It happened after this, right? I'm not saying because of this, but so shouting. So it's just not, it's not true that other people control your emotions, right? It's just not true. All right, shouting will lead to depression, a lack of confidence in later life, and possibly also make them a psychopath, right? With stakes this high, losing control and raising your voice once in a while can feel traumatic, but I found it's more likely to happen if I've spent all day engaged in tortuous discussions about feelings, not my own, obviously trying desperately not to say, because I said so, and ignoring my gut instincts, which is that clear instructions peppered with the occasional firm no might whisper it, be far more successful. Yeah, so why are you ignoring your gut instincts? So you're lying to your child. You're lying to your child. You're not being honest and direct and authentic and connecting. Anyway, is shouting sometimes really so detrimental? I want my son to know that all humans get upset and angry at times, adults included, and that his actions impact those around him, right? But why would you have to shout, right? You could just say that you're upset. You don't have to shout. That's acting it out, right? So she's rejecting her own authentic experience. She's rejecting honesty. She's being, you know, tight-lipped, white-faced, red-cheeked, and manipulative, and then she wants her child to respect her. It's like, but if she set herself against her own emotional authenticity and directness and honesty, why would the child respect her? I don't get, again, this is a little bit more female, I don't get this just adherence to external rules in order to just do something well. There's a script I have to follow. There's this person I need to emulate. I need to copy-paste this. I also doubt that her mother was quite as gentle as she says, otherwise she'd be able to do this more directly. Or maybe her mother was gentle also by faking her own experience and compulsively lying to her child. When you're searching your frazzled brain for the night, gentle parenting form of words with which to respond. What? When you're searching your frazzled brain for the... Right. Sorry, my mistake. When you're searching your frazzled brain for the right gentle parenting form of words with which to respond, never react. It's also very easy to get it wrong and lapse into permissive parenting, allowing them to do whatever the hell they want. It's a distressingly short journey from validating a child's feelings to letting them cause mayhem in a supermarket, and from trying not to shout, stop that, when your child throws sand at another to standing impotently watching it happen. The experts say boundaries are vital, but when you're focusing all your energies on not losing your cool, those are what often vanish instead. Right. So if the only way that you can enforce boundaries is through yelling and physical force, like picking up your child and carrying them, then you're really torn. Like you have to give your children some structure and boundaries. Children are happier when they know what's expected of them. So if you have to give your children boundaries, but the only way you can think of giving boundaries is to stop this weird psychobabble of inauthenticity and to yell and use physical force, that's no fun. I mean, that's really stressful. That's really difficult. How about just be honest, tell the truth? And while nobody wants their child to grow up believing their feelings don't matter, I'm also unsure that a toddler's every emotional experience needs to be indulged. Yeah, I don't know what that means. I don't always have it in me to muster empathy for the distress caused by an incorrectly cut piece of cheese. More seriously, I worry that the constant focus on emotions will raise a self-obsessed, entitled generation who see their feelings more important than anything else, as more important than anything else, including objective truth or different, perhaps equally valid viewpoints. Right. The objective truth is you're bothered by your son and you're not telling him that. And you're also not saying, why does it hurt me that my child wants to stay here rather than go somewhere else with me? Right. Which it probably does, right? Objective truth. How's the child going to get objective truth if you're lying to him by following a script that's inauthentic to how you're feeling and what is actually going on for you, right? Recently, I've been trying to listen to my gut more, which tells me to try to emulate my own mom, who is kind, yes, and gentle too, but also firm, sometimes even strict. I know what she'd say if she could see all the gentle parenting social media posts. The parenting can't be taught via 30-second videos. There's no such thing as a script that every child will respond to. I think she'd also greet the idea of someone using a detailed narration of their recalcitrant toddler's feelings to cajole them into leaving a soft play session with amused incredulity. Increasingly, I feel the same. Sometimes you just need to get home, even if it takes a fireman's lift to achieve it. Right. Yeah. Children are just at their happiest when they're relaxed and connected to the true emotional state of their parents. When their parents know, when the children know that their parents absolutely love spending time with them, right? My daughter wanted to go for a walk today. I know she likes going for a walk and listening to music. And I was like, I'd love to come along. But I totally understand if you want to go and walk and listen to music. And we had a nice hour walk and we talked about just a lovely variety of topics and all of that. And so when kids are just connected and happy and they know that their parents love spending time with them and the parents are not faking things or being inauthentic and so on, then the kids are happy, right? I don't know this woman, but she does look like the kind of woman who is looking for a kind of social approval that is really tough and wanting to be right and do things the right way rather than just be authentic, honest, and genuine. Maybe that comes a little bit more from the father's side. Of course, she doesn't say anything about Polly Dunbar. What's her story? She doesn't say anything about whether she has a husband. She doesn't say anything about the child's father, and maybe that's an issue. Children's illustrator and writer. Okay, and let's see here. Cotswolds? Are you in Cotswolds? Are you in Cotswolds? Oh, wow, my. All right, career, adaptations, bibliography, as an illustrator. All right, most promising new illustrator. Most promising new illustrator. Okay, sorry. Okay, what has she got here? She's the daughter of children's book writer. Oh, isn't that nice, right?
Oh, most helpful.
Okay, so let's see here. Published 3 books. Her partner and their 2 sons. Okay, I don't know if partner means male or female. Of course, who knows? Let's look a little further.
Polly Dunbar.
All right, what's the story?
Do, 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 do,
do. And 2 very fluffy cats. Is there anything about... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what partner means here. But anyway, so yeah, I don't know if there's a dad, but if there's a strong dad around, there's usually just this kind of directness that is very positive and helpful, I think. And again, she could be perfectly wonderful at this, and maybe she's got the manliest man around, but... I don't know. So, helping women to be more authentic is a man's job, and helping men be more connected is a woman's job. It's all great stuff. So, all right. Well, thanks, everyone. Hope you find this helpful. I'm going to go and do my Wednesday night show. It is November the 13th, 2024, and I'll talk to you guys in a few minutes.
Bye.